subject that we wanted to share is that the Lord of Justice never sleeps. Never sleeps. In the Bible, it says that God made this universe in 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh. Now, the Quran comes as a book to clear up misconceptions, misunderstandings. So the Quran says that Allah made the heavens and the earth, didn't say 6 days, but it says six periods of time. And then it says, but he wasn't fatigued. So this is to kind of give maybe a different understanding of what it means that he rested. Because the way it sounds, it gives the impression that, you know, after God makes all the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, all of this thing in the physical universe, after he makes all the people, after he makes all the animals, the mountains, the rivers, the lakes, after he makes all of this, after 6 days, he's like, you know what, man, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I gotta rest. That's the way it would seem. But the Quran says, no, it's not like that. He did all of this, but he wasn't fatigued. All right. Now, this suggests to us that the Quran says he doesn't get tired, doesn't sleep. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, his teacher, the Savior, Master Fahd, he said he never saw him sleep. And then one day, he said, he was in a room, the Savior was in a room, and he said he thought he was sleeping there. And he went to look in a keyhole to see if he was sleeping, and according to what we were told, that he saw the Savior looking back at him. Right. Never saw him sleep. Didn't see him sleep. Well, the Lord, the God of justice, he doesn't sleep. Justice is big with God. It's not inconsequential, and it's also big with you. And you know why it's big with you? Because you're God too. So, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in the back of the Muhammad Speaks and now the Final Call newspaper, in every single paper, there is a delineation or a listing of what's called the Muslim program. Every single one, and it gives like the constitution for the nation.
Right.
And one of them, point number three of what the Muslim wants, it says it says we want justice. We want equal justice under the law. And we want justice applied equally to all, regardless of creed or class or color.
Right.
We want justice. And the coming of God is to do just that, to establish justice. In the Bible, there are many places where it says God, he loves justice, and he loves those who administer justice. In fact, he says, for those who do justice and do righteousness, that's better with him than even sacrifice.
Wow.
Justice. In the belief or traditions of the Muslims, there is this mighty one who's prophesied to come. He's called the Mahdi, or the rightly guided one. And he's going to be seen at the end of this system of things. He's going to come with Jesus. Now, for my Christian family, you may not know this, but we can't even be considered a Muslim or the righteous without believing in Jesus.
See that.
We got to believe in Jesus. In fact, about it, in the Quran, there is a chapter named after the creation. There's chapter named after bees and right. named after cows yes. and named after stars and named after the sun, named after the moon, right. named after the prophets. And there's one chapter named after the mother of Jesus, Maryam. And so the Muslims, they don't expect the return of Moses. They're not looking for the return of Abraham. They're not even looking for the return of Muhammad. But all Muslims are looking for the return of Jesus, coming with Mahdi. And when Mahdi comes, he's prophesied to do some mighty things. It's prophesied when he comes, he's going to break the cross.
Right.
He's going to kill the swine.
Right.
He's going to set down every tyrant.
Yeah, everyone.
Yeah. There's some tyrants you work with, right?
Right.
Yeah.
True?
Yeah, true.
He's going to set them down.
Right.
There's tyrants in our families. Some of us, there's a tyrant we look at every day in the mirror.
Yeah.
There may be tyrants in the mosque, tyrants in the church, tyrants in the White House, tyrants in Congress.
Right.
The scripture says, or the tradition says, that when he comes, he's going to set down every tyrant. Now, to set down every tyrant, you have to do like the Quran says. You have to be mighty, and you got to be wise to set down every tyrant, every single one. And then there's another thing that he comes to do. He says he's going to set justice in the earth. Well, if he's going to set justice in the earth, that's to tell you that the earth is a place where injustice reigns. We don't have a lot of justice. Justice in the earth. Now, the Quran is a how to be God book. And it tells you certain things about Allah, but in telling you things about Allah, it's telling you things about himself, about you and your nature. So one of the things that Allah says in the Quran, he says he wishes no injustice on his creatures. No injustice. We were taught that the originator of the heavens and the earth was an atom of light and life spinning in the darkness. And he was doing two things simultaneously. One thing he was doing, he was building himself up in the darkness. And the other thing he was doing, he was going to war against the darkness. So we have an impression about God and the righteous as if these are some kind of milquetoast individuals, right? We have this impression of God that he loved everybody.
Right.
He wouldn't hurt a soul.
Right.
He wouldn't even step on a rose.
Right.
He wouldn't bend a blade of grass.
Right.
That's what we believe.
Right.
And we have this image of Jesus that, you know, that you have these pictures of him and his heart is shown, and you know, he looks like Michelangelo's nephew, right? And he is this guy that's so sweet and so loving. And so there's this image of him. Well, he may be sweet and he may be loving, and that may be the nature of God, but there's another side to him.
Right.
So as there's a nurturing side, there's also now a warrior side.
Right.
And you see this warrior side in the book of Revelations.
Right.
You see him at the head of 10,000,
right.
and there's blood dripping from his sword.
Right.
You see him.
Right.
And so in the book of Revelations, he's talking about this woman named Jezebel.
Right.
And he says about Jezebel, this is Jesus talking, he says he's going to kill her children.
Wow.
Whoa. This is Jesus talking. Right. This is the one you say who wouldn't even, he wouldn't bend the blade of grass,
right,
who wouldn't step on a rose,
right,
the one who want to love and kiss everybody.
Right.
Well, that same Jesus says, I'm going to kill the children of Jezebel. That same one who says, who's going to come at the head of 10,000 with blood dripping from his sword. The same one in the book of Exodus where Moses says that the Lord is a man of war. He's not a ghost.
That's right.
He's not a spook.
Right.
He's not a mystery.
Right.
He's a man of war.
Right.
In the beginning of his creation, in the beginning of his creation, he goes to war with the darkness.
Right.
So now if you're talking about setting justice in the earth, you can't be no Rudy Poot. Had someone in your house that you live with, maybe your husband, maybe your wife, maybe your boyfriend, your girlfriend, maybe was a sibling, and they're just bullies. They're tyrants. They act with injustice. And now you talk about you're going to challenge that order in your home. And you talk about you're going to bring about justice in a place where injustice reign unfettered. Well, when someone had that kind of free reign and could do what they want to do, and you talk about you're going to bring a divine order in that kind of environment, they don't just let you just do it. They don't just give it over to you and just bow down and submit. You got to fight on your hand. And you better be prepared for the fight. Well, look at our condition in America. Do you think that these people are going to just give it up to you? Do you think that here is our five brothers who killed our brother in Memphis, Tennessee? Now notice, those five brothers, they got fired real quick.
Right.
Didn't they?
Yes.
There wasn't a whole lot of debate on that one. Them brothers got terminated with the quickness.
Yes.
Now, okay, now, we and all that, we don't have a problem with that. Our problem is now, had those boys been white,
right,
now there have been all kinds of shenanigans and machinations,
right,
and arguments,
yes,
as to why now justice was slow, if at all, with them. And so it's a rare situation when a white officer gets convicted for the killing of a black man.
Right.
It happens occasionally, but the order of the day is that we live in a society where injustice reigns.
Right.
Here you go. You buy a car. You're doing your payments. You've been faithful.
Right.
You hit hard times.
Right. Hard.
You laid a little while.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you miss a payment or two.
Or three.
Now, you know who's coming.
Right.
And that's why you park your car around the block.
Or
hide in the garage or someplace.
Because
you know a Reaper man is, he on the way. Now these people are so wicked. Because they put all kinds of interest on the loan. And you've already paid the car. You paid it already. But because of the inordinate interest, the usury. So now they go and take your car. They take your house. And who are you going to appeal to? You can't appeal to a just judge. Because even in your law, the Bible talks about usury. But now you live in a world where the law of God is thrown to the side. And you live in a world where you can't appeal to a just judge to hear your case. So now, in a world like this, you're going to try to bring in justice? You got to be mighty. You got to be wise. You got to be strong. Now, we believe that a mighty one has come to us. He's given a picture in the book of Revelations. And the revelator asks a question. He says, who is able to make war with the beast? It doesn't say who wants to make war with the beast, who desires to make war with the beast. It says who's able to make war with the beast. So now we're talking about ability. We're talking about now who has the inherent capability to go and to make war with the beast. Now, unless you've been a reader, unless you just beyond just your experience, most of us don't have a real appreciation for the kind of wickedness that we're dealing with. With the kind of power that we're dealing with. How entrenched injustice is in the world that we're dealing with. You don't realize how formidable an opponent Satan really is. You can't deal with him with just talk. This guy, this dude, crushes the righteous. And that's why no matter what prophet came, it looks like no prophet of God ever appeared.
That's right. That's what it looks like.
Because no prophet can handle a God. He's a God of his world. And only a superior God can handle him. So who is able to make war with the beast? Well, the revelator doesn't answer the question, but we can answer it. Our Savior, Master Fraud Muhammad, he's able to make war with the beast. Not only can he make war with the beast, but he raised one among us. Gave him power and dominion. Raised him to be a Messiah. Raised him to be a Christ. Made everything to be his footstool. We believe him. We believe, and our conviction is that Georgia-born black man, Elijah Muhammad, is able to make war with the beast. Has the power to make war with the beast. And your brother, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, is a dare for him. He's a dare. Now, I hope either you're going to be in Chicago on this coming weekend, or if you're not going to be there, I hope you're going to watch it on television. Watch it on internet. You can tell I'm in a time warp. Come to the present time. So, the minister's lecture is the war of Armageddon has begun.
Yes, sir.
Begun. Now, I'm going to take, if you don't mind, can you see Phoenix on the map? Can you see it? The map of the United States? Can you see Phoenix? Here's Arizona, and we're in Phoenix, right? Okay, now, on the map, can you see where New York City is?
Yes, sir.
So you know we're going to go eastward to go to New York, right? Can you see L.A. on the map?
Sir.
Okay, so here's Phoenix, there's New York, there's L.A. So we're going to go to New York. I'm going to take a little detour to go to L.A. first, and then I'm going to go back to New York. So here's one L.A. So it's going to sound like I'm off point, but I'm just telling you, make a little detour. Have you ever heard of these book series called The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews?
Yes,
you ever heard of them?
Yes,
many of you have them, but you ain't read it. And I know why you haven't read it. Well, I know part of the reason why you haven't read it. Many of us haven't read it because when they see it, they buy it. We will buy it. But the reason why many of us won't read it, because we'll look at it, we'll pick it up, and the first thing we go in the back and says, and they say like, okay, it's 350 pages. Is I'm not reading this? 350 pages? Are you insane? But those books are really wonderful defenders of the medicine.
Yes, sir.
And there's this other volume. It's called Defending Farrakhan.
That's right.
Have you seen those books before?
Yes, sir.
And they defend the minister in a way that is, I mean, brilliant. These brilliant scholars. There's a three volumes to defending, no, three volumes for secret relationship. There's a fourth volume. It's out, but it's not available to the public. And the fourth volume is called The Talmud. About the trichnology of Yaqub.
Right.
Now, you had to have permission from the minister to get this book. It's not available. My brother who was here last weekend, Brother Abdul Waliola, he has a copy of it. He told me about it. He said, well, you gotta, you know, minister, you get your permission. And then Brother Dimitrik, our brother who was here a couple weekends before then, he said, well, yeah, just call and just tell him that, you know, I said it. He talked, he had authority. So I said, well, Brother Dimitri told me about this book. And so Amina, his minister's executive sister, well, she said, let me ask the minister. And she asked the minister, I got a copy of it. And I started reading it. And I'm going to tell you, I read that book, it was different from all the rest. In this one, I know the brother who wrote them. He's a very quiet brother. He doesn't like to make himself known. And he's a brilliant researcher. He's a brilliant scholar. And brother, he takes no prisoners. I mean, none. I mean, there are times I'm reading it and I have to put it down. And I don't know for sure, but I strongly believe that the spirit in that book will be the spirit the minister is going to teach on this weekend. And if it is, and I think it is, see, now, I like football. I'm a long-suffering Buffalo Bills fan. My poor Bills. And what, now, for those of you who like football, you know, it's difficult to win being on defense. At a certain point, you got to go on offense to win. What this book represented to me was going on offense. They go offense with this one. And this going on offense, exposing Satan in a way I haven't read before. Now, if this is the minister's spirit this weekend, here's what I believe is going to happen. One, it will enrage the beast. He's already enraged. This will put an accelerant on his rage. Now, in his rage, he's come to the conclusion he can't handle the Savior. How do you know? Because he's been told now for about 70, 80 years, he's been told about this man-made planet half a mile by half a mile. He's told it's not from outer space. It's not from Mars. It's not from Saturn. He was told it was made right here on Earth. And it represents a superior power that he can't handle. He knows this. He can't go to war with God.
No,
although he wants to try.
Right. He knows he can't handle the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And for nearly 40 years now, he's been trying to handle the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, but here Farrakhan is still strong, still up, no matter what he's done to him. So those, he ain't going after them. But you know who he does want to go after? Us. His intention is to go after us. And so what has to happen with us is it's going to force us to close the gap between ourselves and our God. It's going to force us to close the gap between ourselves and the servant of God. It's going to force us to close the gap among the righteous. It's going to force us. We've been talking this talk all these years. But conditions now are going to be of such that your brother and your sister, yeah, they are brother. We're going to have to be real brothers and sisters today in this hour. All right. That's L.A. Now I'm going back to New York. You all right? Justice, it never sleeps. Never sleeps. Do you know what? The Quran gives a warning to the wicked of those who would slay those who enjoin justice. You got some people who are crying out legitimately for justice. And then you got the wicked who would slay them. And Allah says about these people, announce to them a painful chastisement. The history of our sojourn in America is that whenever someone would be raised among us who would enjoin justice, the wicked would see that person as being the antithesis to their security. Look how they handle those whose only crime was to enjoin justice. Yeah. Nat Turner.
Yeah.
Raised among us.
Right.
He saw his people in bondage, in slaves.
Right.
He was the kind of preacher that we like.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
We wish our brothers and sisters in the who are pastors, who are preachers, would be more like Nat Turner. Nat Turner, he was told by the slave master to stay in the New Testament. He was there for a hot second. Okay, so I got to stop my teaching to make an announcement. So there's a white F-150 blocking the neighbor's gate. Can I get back to where I was in talking? What was I talking about? Nat Turner. Yes, thank you. It's only one brother paying attention. Now the rest of y'all thinking about what you're going to eat tonight. Thank you, Brother Courtney. So, Nat Turner, the slave master wanted to stay in the New Testament. But slaves love your master. Turn the other cheek. He stayed there for a hot second, but then he gravitated toward the New Old Testament. And the Old Testament talks about the Lord of hosts, talks about a God of vengeance, talking about a God who now is going to war against injustice. And Nat knew that God, this Lord of justice, he never sleeps, even though it may appear like it. So in the Old Testament, here is David, the psalmist, and he's looking at the condition of the people. And he's crying out to God because David is saying it looks as if there's no consequence for the wicked. It looks as if people can do their wickedness, their unrighteousness with impunity. And he's crying out to God, will your justice sleep forever? And we say the same thing. Sometimes we think that there's no consequence. The people that you know doing some dirty stuff. And it looks like they get away with it. There are people that you know, maybe at work, you know they skating at work, but they get the promotion. In the mosque, you know some people ain't doing Jack Dooley squat, but they get to be a laborer or an official. You hear at the mosque, not only you hear at the mosque, you hear early all the time. And you get looked over. But because sometimes somebody got some money, or some other thing that appeals to someone else, and you cry out, where's the justice?
Right. Come on, man.
True?
Yes, sir.
Where's the justice? Now, but God says his justice, he don't sleep. He don't sleep. His justice doesn't sleep. Right. White folk going crazy with Donald Trump. Because they think that they wonder where's the accountability for Trump.
Yeah.
It looks like this man get away with everything. He looks as if he can do whatever he wants to do with impunity.
Right.
But God never sleeps.
Right.
And his justice never sleeps. And the Quran says about it, he says that don't think our giving them a respite is good for themselves. It says we give them a respite so they can add to their sins.
Wow.
And it says for them is a humiliating chastisement.
Wow.
So don't believe that just because someone looks like, appears as if they get away with something. You never get away with something.
That's right.
You never do.
Thank you,
are you all right?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to bring this home to us. But I just want to just make a point about God's justice. And how his justice never sleeps. So, in the Quran, it talks about justice. This is how to be God. And if God, justice, well, he's looking for you too. To you. And before I go to Quran, I want to share something with this body of wisdom called the Supreme Wisdom. I want to share some things as kind of a predicate for this, what I'm going to read. The Savior, he talks about, he gives some instructions and he gives us a problem that's relevant for justice. One instruction. He says, I can sit on top of the world
right. And
tell everyone that the most beautiful nation
That's right. Is
in the wilderness of North America. Then he says, but don't let me catch any sister other than herself in regards to living the life and weighing properly. Okay. And then he gives us a problem. It's very similar. The second problem, he gives in the wilderness of North America
ways other than herself. Therefore, she has rheumatism, headaches, pain in all joints. She can't walk up to the store. She's troubled frequently with high blood pressure and registers more than 32. Her pulse is nearly 80 times per minute, and she died at the age of 47. How many times her pulse beat in 47 years? Well, in both instances, it says he's dealing with her weighing properly. Well, on the one hand, of course, weighing is about our actual weight. And so obesity is a major problem in America. Obesity, so we just went through a pandemic with COVID and how it was ravishing not only in America, but ravishing lives globally. Almost all of us know someone who died or got close to dying with COVID. But as devastating as COVID is, it pales in comparison to obesity. Almost 41% of the adult population is obese. And some of us like to use the kind of euphemisms for being overweight or obese. I'm a little thick. So we kind of say, right? Or we say, she's kind of healthy. She's very healthy. What'd you say, brother? Big bones. And these are all kind of euphemisms. This is not healthy. And so the Savior, he didn't like it, being overweight, male or female. That was a big, he said, so let me catch any sister other than herself in regards to living a life and weighing properly. Okay. I want to offer maybe another way of looking at weighing properly. So you ever see the symbol of justice? It's a woman. She's blind. And she's carrying scales. And so the scales are, well, it's uneven, but you weigh. Weighing. So the Savior says, don't let me catch any sister other than yourself regards to living the life and weighing properly. This wife of Mr. W.D. Frost, she wasn't weighing right. She wasn't weighing properly.
Her administration of justice
was off.
She wasn't given justice.
One just for sisters, it's for us, period. So it says about brothers, it says the uncle of Mr. W.D. Farrad in the wilderness of North America says about him that he weighs more than his height. His weight is off. He not
weighing properly. She not weighing properly.
So how they weighing is not off. In other words, they're not giving justice. They're not proficient in being able to do right by others. Justice is fair dealing. So the Quran says this, O you who believe.
You believe?
Yes, sir.
Well, believe in what?
You believe in God?
Yes, sir.
You believe in revelation?
Yes, sir.
You believe in his right? This is talking to you then. If you're the wicked,
it's not talking to you. If you're a hypocrite,
it's not talking to you. If you're a believer, it's talking to you. Oh, you who believe, it says, be maintainers of justice.
Yeah.
If you're a believer, you gotta maintain.
What does it mean to maintain? It means to preserve.
Mm-hmm.
When you
are maintaining justice,
that's what the reason why God is.
If you're a savior after him, if we're saviors after him, what he does, we should do.
Right.
If he comes to establish justice in the earth, that's what we should do. So no matter where it is, it should be wherever injustice is, should be unacceptable to us.
Right.
No matter where it is.
Right.
You see injustice at home, that's unacceptable.
At work, unacceptable.
At school, unacceptable. In the mosque, unacceptable. The Quran says, O you who believe, be maintainers of justice. Check this out. Bears a witness for Allah, even though it be against your own self. So the first thing, Allah says, you want to be a maintainer of justice? You got to be,
have enough fearlessness to say
the first person you want to mean justice to is you. If you wrong, if I'm wrong,
we got to
be strong enough to say, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. You get me? Left. They know it. They want to argue with you all day. And they know they're wrong. You insulting my intelligence? Going back and forth. It's your spouse. It's your children. Sometimes it's your parents. Sometimes it's your friend. They know they're wrong.
Rather
than just being honest, showing enough integrity, enough character, and just say, you know what? It's on me. Justify. You who believe, be maintained of justice, bears a witness for Allah, even though it be against your own self. Then it says, or your parents. Your parents could be your biological parents, those that gave you birth. Often, there's people in faith, whether it's in the mosque, whether it's in the church, no matter where the organization, and these people are parents. You know, they kind of raise you up. But they're wrong. If they're wrong, you have to be strong enough to tell those who even been good to you, no sir, no ma'am, you're wrong. Do this. It's easy now.
It's
easy. But see, some of us have a real warped conception of what it means to be a believer. And you see someone wrong, and you allow them to go. Well, I humbly suggest to you, you're not a real friend to them. Here's somebody, they're going off in a warped
way.
And you know it. And you don't have enough love for them to tell them
you're wrong.
I ain't gonna say it to them. Hi. What kind of punk believers are we? What kind of weak believers are we? You ever been around a minister and he tell you wrong? So, I remember I'm out of college. I bought this cherry red Corvette. Nice car. And this is his brother. We went and we're going to raffle it off. And now I didn't know it. But he went and borrowed money from your mother. And she went and told the minister. Now I didn't know he borrowed no money. I didn't. And so we're in his hotel suite, and so he's watching TV, and I come and say some words, and as I look back now, I can tell someone was mine, but I couldn't tell then. So I'm saying, making small talk, and you know, small talk. I didn't see. And so now, and he just lays on my black so-and-so. I mean, he waited deliberately till we got the dinner table. Everyone there, around, right? Deliberate, right? And he talked about borrowing this money and doing this, that, and the other, and so on and so on, and X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, I didn't know all this. I mean, what I did was, I didn't defend it. I didn't try to say, but so and so, because most of us do that. We try to defend, we try to justify. I didn't do any of that. Yes, sir. It's a lesson for me. But here's a man, here is a pleading woman. And in the Quran, it talks about the pleading woman. And so in the mosque throughout the country, there's a major issue that happens often. Sisters who are crying out for justice. They're crying out like the prophet. There was a wife who was crying out to the prophet because her husband was treating her like dirt. In the Quran, I'm so moved by it, there's a whole chapter called The Pleading Woman. In the mosque, and I've seen cases here where sometime officials can turn a blind eye to the deeds of the brother, but be real hard on the sister. But the Quran says you got to be a maintainer of justice. It doesn't make a difference if it's your parents or your near of kin. Yeah, have the brother come on in. Just close the door. So, if it's your brother, it's your friend. I've seen this, and some of us seen it too. We overlook, we turn a blind eye, we wink at the wrong of someone's close to us. And be hard on those we don't like. The Quran says you got to be a maintainer of justice and don't let the hatred of a people incite you not to act with justice. Be just. It don't make a difference. Sometimes you may not like a brother. You may not like a sister. So what? You got to be just. If you want to be a savior, you gotta be just. In Islam, in our teachings, we say we gotta report all weakness, slackness, and wrongdoing. Slack. So in the street, they call it snitching. But that's not what we call it here. Brother, your sister. Rain. You smell alcohol. You smell cigarettes. My brother.
Yeah.
It's my sister. Yeah. I ain't gonna snitch on them. But they're killing themselves.
That's right. That's right.
Showing
love.
It is showing love.
That's right.
Wow. So you show more love for them, reporting it.
That's
right. And helping them get their lives
over. Right.
Engage in that insidious thing called slack talk and gossip. You ain't gonna say nothing. You're not gonna maintain justice. But see, you know why slack talk and gossip is so insidious? Here's Brother Tremekas and someone talking about him. What it does, it kills, undermines true love, true brotherhood. Now, I ain't gonna go there. I'm not gonna go there. No, I'm not gonna go there. So, before you maintain justice, the Quran says there are those who they do justice by truth. So you can't talk about justice unless there's acceptance of truth first. Because justice without truth is impossible. So you can't be, you can't talk about justice unless you love truth. Life, Allah says he created a universe with truth. Not with falsehood, but with truth. Sometimes, I mean, I remember what I wrote the minister one time, and I told him, I'd just be honest with him, I said, sometimes I don't want to hear your lectures. Say things. Condemning me, and I don't know what to do. I don't know how to change it. I don't like what you said, because what you said is truth. Now, I was asked to take this post about 4 months ago. And so, now, before I'm on the post, if I had a thought, I had an opinion, most of you had no problem with saying, Brother Aleem, that's a bunch of yang-yang. That's a bunch of nonsense. Then what you were saying? Not because I got a title. Right. So now, you wanna don't tell me the truth. Brown, no. What you feel. Mm-hmm. But Brother Brian, but that doesn't help me. Noser.
That's right.
You're not my friend if the brown knows me.
That's right.
You don't help me.
You don't tell me the truth about what you really think,
what you really feel. That's Brother, right. I didn't like this. Brother Lehman, I thought you were wrong. Brother, this is good. That's bad. Don't say things that tickle my ears. Tell me the truth. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. And until and unless we love truth, we're going to have some problems.
Yes, sir.
So the Quran says, oh, you who believe, be maintainers of justice, bear witness for Allah, even though it be against your own selves or your parents or your near relatives, whether he be rich or poor, Allah has a great right over them both.
Right. Sometimes we
favor the poor. Here's a dispute. One rich, one poor, and we don't, because we ain't got no money, we dog the rich one. Poor one only has 2 left shoes. Or it's the reverse. We favor the rich. Can we expect the rich to give us some? Hoping the rich gonna give you some money. Do some favor. So not integrity, based now off of some perceived benefit that you might get. But the Quran says that's madness. Whether rich or poor, Allah has a greater right over both of them. You judge maintainers of justice. Then it says this.
So don't follow him.
you're low. Well, what is it that would make us not maintain? Low desires.
Right. Yes,
so what a hindrance to us with justice, maintaining
justice, low desires.
You want some. Low desire.
Allah says he comes between a man and a woman in their heart.
Right.
What do you want? If that desire is inordinate, now your ability to judge now is a problem. I've seen it in mosques. I've seen it myself. Here's a brother. Here's a sister. And they have a little discretionary income, the money. And I've seen it when mosque officials will turn a blind eye. Because this person gives some money. And they say in their mind, well, he's a good brother. He's a good sister. Well, how do you know that anybody didn't give him that money? They're good. You don't know. And it's irrelevant anyway. The relevant picture is, were they right or were they wrong? And if they're wrong, you got to maintain justice with it. Are you upset with me? Yeah, you are. I can look at your face. I don't care anyway. So, low desires make us distort truth, make us turn away. Then Allah says this, it says, and excuse me, make you deviate. Then it says, if you distort or turn away from truth. So now there's two other things that make us not administer justice, not maintain justice. Distort truth and turn away from truth. Distort it. The minister calls this phenomenon deceptive intelligence. We bring this to bear. It's that kind of mindset where wrong, you make right wrong. Well, all of a sudden now, wrong becomes fair seeming. There was a brother who called me. I couldn't believe he called me about this one day. He was calling, trying to justify, my words bound to our Savior, trying to justify selling drugs. A believer. I ain't talking about a lost found family. A believer. It was so bizarre to me. And the arguments they brought to bear to try to justify madness. Distorting truth. And that's an extreme, egregious example, but to be quite frank, to be quite candid, we do this all the time. We do this all the time. Because when you want something, you distort truth. Since you want a husband, and you know it. But they are. But you lie to yourself because you're lonely, and you don't want to die without companionship. And you know it's crazy. And so he talk about. You ask him, "Well, what do you do, sir?" He says, "Well, I'm in banking." But you know he's slow in the bank. But he's in banking. And what it does, it makes hell for us. Same thing with you, brother. I mean, sometimes, you know, we create our own conditions based on decisions that we make. And oftentimes, those decisions are based because of a low desire that's inordinate, And consequently, we distort truth in our own minds. We
distort it.
You know, I know. I know me. I know you. I know us. We all come in the same condition. Here, brother, he dropped $100 bill. You saw it. You don't say nothing. Or you go like, make that move. How you justify it? Because the way he owed me $5 anyway. And this the interest for that money he owed me and so on, so on, so on, so on. Now my sponsor, I say, one day I go to the bank. I'm not trying to make myself into somebody big. I'm not. On the example I'm going to share, but I go to the bank and I cash a check or something, and you know the envelopes they put the money in. Mm-hmm. My worst bond. They gave me $20 too much. I counted just to make sure. Now I ain't gonna tell you no lie. I thought about it. I said, man, they got a lot of money in this bank. They ain't gonna miss the $20. I said, no, but that's wrong.
That's right.
See, whether they're rich or poor doesn't make a difference. You got to be a maintainer of justice. And so I was with somebody, too. They thought I was crazy as hell. I gave them the $20 back.
Yes.
You gave me too much money.
That's right. That's right.
You go buy something at the store. They give you too much change. What do? Most of us say, like, don't praise the Lord. This. God know I need some money. And we do it with no shame. But you know what the best religion is? The best religion is you want for your brother and sister what you want for yourself. And if it happened to you, what would you want? If you mistakenly gave someone too much money and they knew it, what would you want? Would you want them to say, brother, you gave me too much? Where's my brother Chris? He told me years ago, brother Chris, you don't think I remember. I remember that story you told me, brother. He told me he used to sell these, you know, sell garments. Not garments, but like jogging outfits and whatnot, right? And there was a brother, brother Chris, if I'm wrong with the story, you correct me. But I think he told me, if I remember, he said that, and these were brothers living that life, slinging that poison. But if I remember, I think he gave Brother Chris, was it $200? Was it $200, brother? It was a few hundred dollars. He gave him too much. And Brother Chris gave him the money back. You think I remember, brother? I remember that story. He gave him too much. And Brother Chris gave him the money back. Now, often, I never engaged in that kind of activity, but I know people who did, and when they live that kind of life, man, they reckless with their money. I mean, they go spending on some madness, crazy stuff. They're not frugal with it. Most aren't. And so, you know, but when he gave it to him, if I remember the story right, the brother was so impressed with it. And told all his brothers, I think, if Brother Chris told me right, if I remember the story right, told him, you know, he became respected in that crew and made sure all those under his authority knew, respected Brother Chris and what he did. Brother acted with principle,
yes.
With character. See, that's truth. You don't distort truth.
That's right.
You don't turn away from truth.
Maintain.
You maintain justice.
Right.
Now imagine if a mosque, a church, a house lived under those kind of principles.
You.
What would it be? Would you feel secure? So we We checked you when you came in for security's sake, but imagine a whole group of people lived under that kind of ethos, that kind of principle. That's real security there. Real security. Knowing I can leave my money on the floor and nobody would take it. My purse can be open and no one would violate it. If I lost it, I one day, I lost my wallet. I'm going around looking, and I said, okay, I was at Fry's. And so I went to Fry's, and lo and behold, someone turned it in. Didn't take a dime. I was so grateful. I was so appreciative. That, I mean, because taking the money and just left my ID in my car, okay, I've been okay with that. But they left my money too, and gave me all my stuff. I just said, you know what? It was just integrity, character. And in my ID, it don't say Leroy Jones. My ID says Abdul Halim. And so, in a racist society. And society don't like Muslims. Yes. You know, I didn't know how that's gonna go. But the fact was, they showed integrity. Yes. I'm okay.
Yes,
I'm great clothes. I'm great clothes. Our mosque, this believing community, if we're going to be successful in trying to attract our people, we have to be unlike the world. So in this world, lying, stealing, murder is the order of the day. People with no character, no integrity, that's the order of the day. People with no kind of compulsion to righteousness, that's the order of the day. To be unlike that. Some may call that foolish. I don't. I call that a reflection of Louis Farrakhan. That's what I call it. So the Quran says about Muhammad, Muhammad is an excellent exemplar for him who hopes in Allah in the latter day. Ministers would not steal a dime. Minister is a man who speaks truth regardless. I've seen ministers apologize for things. Some of us here won't even apologize if we're wrong. Some of us, when is the last time we said, I'm sorry? It is an arrogance, brother. It's an arrogance. But you know, if you can say, I'm sorry, I apologize, I'm wrong, and say it genuinely, sincerely, do you know how attractive that is to the world? Some in the world may call it foolish, but that kind of integrity engenders trust. We have an organization. We start. Everything's going good. But who's going to be the who gonna be the president? Okay, well, Hassan will be the president. Okay, who's going to be vice president? Okay, well, Laquisha should be president. Who's going to be a sergeant in arms? Okay, well, Joe will be sergeant in arms. And so there have been, I mean, some debates, some contention, but relatively speaking, that went pretty well. And then we go, who's going to be the chair? Now we got problems. Who's going to be the treasurer? Well, Leroy gonna be treasurer. Leroy, that nigger owe me money. He owe me $5 already. Well, who you say gonna be treasurer? I think Tanya. start with a J. She gonna be. Tanya. Oh, what's wrong with Tanya? The way she look at my man? The way she be sashing all around my man? No, I got a problem with Tanya. Because people have issues with our integrity, our character. But if the minister would say to you, brother, sister, I need $100, but no hesitation. Because you know you get it back with his word is his bond. He's attractive like that. We trust him. And not only do we trust him, but really our people do too. So they may not like or understand our faith. They may think that we're too tough on them. But they know one thing about that Farrakhan. He's a man of integrity.
That's right.
They know that about him.
That's right.
Don't you
want to
be again?
Yes, sir.
Most of us, you want to, many of us, we want to cut our hair, put a part. We wear gaiters like him. Wear a nice suit like him. Speak like him. So some of us want to be ministers, not because necessarily of his character, because he speaks well. But the thing that undergirds him, his character, his integrity, his righteousness, his spirit, his willingness to submit his will to do his father's will. See, that's the unseen reality. You see the seen, but the unseen, that's what makes him a very valuable man. That's what makes him a maintainer of justice. So my conclusion, dear family, as we get ready to go to Chicago, and this Chicago, there will be an earth-shattering. But it's going to happen on February 26th. I'm suggesting the most important day for us isn't February 26th, it's February 27th.
Yeah, that's right.
What are we going to do when we get back?
Right.
So it's one thing, the minister's not an entertainer.
That's right.
He's not there for us to clap and laugh, although we should clap and we should laugh and we should be inspired, but we should be inspired to do what? Come back home and reflect his righteousness. Come back home and reflect his work. So the minister did not send us to a street, a mosque. He sent us to a city. City. We can't be okay just coming into a building. Just here, and that's it. I hope that's not why you're here. I hope you understand we're here to redeem a fallen people. We're here to raise a people from the dead. I hope you understand we're here to be saviors. And we can't save them with nigger stuff. We can't save them with the same madness that they inflicted with every single day. A presence of redemption by being unalike, by being maintainers of justice, by reflecting righteousness, by showing divine character and divine integrity. By living principles that are rooted in God himself.
Right.
And if we do that, then our day in Savior's Day won't be in vain. It won't be futile, but Allah will be pleased with it. So I pray to our God that we come back inspired.
That's right.
We come back motivated.
Come on.
And come back ready to go to work.
Ready to go to work.
So may Allah bless you all, and I greet you with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum.